Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, about 10 lines down, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tano. The Gemara here is dealing with the issue of when and where do you need snapir v'kaskeset, the requirement for the simanim of fins and scales, where does that apply? So we saw in yesterday's Gemara that it's not all-encompassing, because the Torah specifies when it comes to the psukim with regards to fish, where it says fins and scales, it says v'yamim u'nichalim. That's only true when they are found in the Yamim and Nechalim. That's a very narrow area where you would require simanim. The Gemara said, well, in places that are not Yamim and Nechalim, the implications would be that you could eat the Sheretz Hamayim even without any simanim whatsoever. And that's what the Gemara spent time on yesterday. The Gemara eventually moved to the position that we really have a klal upratuchlal here. Because the word mayim appears twice, Mayim would be any body of water. Yamim u'nichalim is a prat, is something that is unique, more narrow in its definition. And therefore we have a klal uprat uchlal. And anything that is dome the prat, anything that is similar to that prat, would be included in the requirement of snapir v'kaskeset and the requirement of simanim. Well, the Gemara had two choices about what is dome the prat. One choice of what's dome the prat would be any water that sits on the ground, any water that sits ala aretz, and that would have included almost everything except for water in kelim. So that would have been a very, very broad sweep of items that require snapir v'kaskeset, any water that sits on the ground. That would have included borot, shichim and me'arot. It would have also included nitzim and charitzim. All these bodies of water would have been included in that requirement, or the surah that they are asurim, the sheretzah mayim, until they have snapir v'kaskeset. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that only those which are flowing live bodies of water would be included in the surah, just like Yamim v'Nechalim, but anything else would be left out. In that case, Yamim v'Nechalim would have included Charitzim and Ni'itzim, whereas Barot, Shechim and Me'arot would have been excluded, excluding meaning that in Barot, Shechim and Me'arot, you would not require Snapir v'Kaskeset. You could drink from their water, even if there was a Sheretz HaMayim there, and it didn't have Snapir v'Kaskeset, you could swallow it without any problem. So the Gemara in the end concludes that that's the right way to learn it because of the extra riboy of tochlu. We saw before, earlier in yesterday's amud, the second amud, that the Gemara thinks that the word tochlu is somewhat extraneous. It's extraneous because I could have learned anything I needed out of the lo tochlu, the negative formulation of the pasuk. The fact that there is a positive formulation of the pasuk is extraneous. Because of that, it guides me to narrow the prat. And in narrowing the prat down, it says that the klal uprat uchlal will only apply to the mayim novim, or live water bodies, active water bodies. And that means that the places that you require snapir v'kaskeset would be nitzim v'charitzim. On the other hand, barot, shichim v'marot, you would not require snapir v'kaskeset, as well as, obviously, kelim. In type of utensils, you would not require snapir v'kaskeset. That was where we ended up yesterday with the klal uprat uchlal. One thing to note, it seems from Tosafot today, we'll see from Rashi, is that the klal uprat uchlal that we're learning here, we learned 2-3 days ago, that there's a difference between whether the klal kama is dafka or whether the klal vatra is dafka. Whether the general principle in the beginning we take as the literal klal, or is it the latter, the second klal that we take as literal. Now over here we have an unusual type of klal uprat uchlal, which is that the two klalim are next to each other, and then the prat is afterwards. But we say that our Gemara says that in Marova and Eretz Yisrael, they used to darsh the klal prat uchlal in that way anyway. Over here, it seems that they are darshing the klal batra dafko, which means that they would have included everything in the prat. Had it not been for the fact that we had the extra riboy of the word tochlu, they would have included everything through the klal prat uchlal, including borot, shichim, and marot. It's only because the word tochlu came along to tell us to narrow the prat down that we narrow it down. Had it not been for the tochlu, they would have included everything, which sounds like the klal batra is dafka. And we're going to see now the debate Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel had a different approach to this case where I have two klalim, two general principles, and then only the prat is afterwards. So instead of darshing it to klal prat uchlal, they darshan it as a riboy miut uriboy. And that's what the Gemara says here. Right, debate Rabbi Shmuel tano. B'mayim b'mayim shnei pamim. This is not a klal prat. Ela riba umiyet. It becomes a riboy umiyut. These are two different ways to darshan the Torah. Klal prat uchlal, riboy umiyut to riboy. There are a number of places in Shas we have a machloket tanaim about this. Generally in Eretz Yisrael they were dorish riboy umiyut to riboy. Nazarit Shishol, they did Klau Prato Klau. It comes up in Perak Meruba and other places where the Torah Gemara goes the differences of them. We'll explain in a second a little bit of the difference between Klau Prato Klau and Riboy Miyut Riboy, which is B'mayim Riba. So we have B'mayim, which would be a Riboy. B'yomim U'Nichalim is a Miyut. B'mayim Chazar V'Riba. Riba U'Miyut V'Riba. So when you use this type of work, Riba Kol, everything is included. So by Riboy U'Miyut Riboy, it's different than Klau Prato Klau. By Klau Prato Klau, we say this. First of all, you have the first Klau. Then afterwards you have the Prat. The Prat then comes to narrow the Klal down. If you just had a Klal Prat, Ein Bachlal Alamasha Beprat. The Klal is now narrowly defined by the Prat. Along comes the second Klal, and tells us, don't make it so narrow, but make it more expansive to include Keina Prat, something that's Domeh LaPrat. That's what the second Klal does for you. And that's what a Klal Upratu Klal does. But the key element of a Klal Upratu Klal is that the Prat is the definition of the Klal. The Prat comes to narrow or define the Klal. That is not true by Riboy U'Miyut. The Miyut is not a Perush, is not an explanation of the Riboy whatsoever. Ella, what it says is, don't include everything. It says Riboy Miyut, Riboy means include everything. I would have included anything and everything that was possible. Now the Miyut just comes along and tells me, leave out something that is totally not like this Riboy. You have to leave out one thing. But other than that, you can include everything under the sun that could have been under these categories. And so that's what the Riboy Miyotariya does. So now, Riba HaKol included everything. My Rabbi. So what does it include? Charitzim, like the gutters, Nitzim, the trenches, the Sura, Umamit. And then, what did it exclude? So the Miyot, what does the Miyot come to exclude? Borot, Shichim U'Miarot, cisterns, ditches, caves, Letera. Somebody says, I don't understand that. Ema, my Riba. Barot, Shechim Mimearot, Leisura. My Miyat, Miyat Kelim. The way a Riboy and Miyot, a Riboy works is that you include everything. The only thing you exclude is something that is totally out in left field, totally different. What's the only thing that's totally different than all these other bodies of water? Kelim. Utensils. So when I said the Miyot comes to exclude something, I should have said it just comes to exclude Kelim. Nothing else. It should have included any other body of water, including Borot, Shechim, Me'arot, Charitzim, Nitzim. All of them should be included. Now, when I say they'd be included, it means in the necessity to have Snapir V'Kaskeset, the Isura, meaning that you require fins and scales. So here also, you should require fins and scales based on the Riboy Miyot to Riboy. Where it says, Imkein, Tochlu, Mayahani Lei, then what does the Riboy of Tochlu do? So again, similar to what we did with the Klau Prato Klau, where we said that, truthfully, the Klau Prato Klau should have included a broader swath of bodies of water, except the word Tochlu came to narrow the Prat down. So the same thing happens over here. The word Tochlu is a Riboy of some sort, and so that Riboy comes and says to us, don't just be Mima'ayit Kelim, don't just come and exclude Kelim, but also exclude Barot Shechim Imarot, and at those locations, you will not require snapir v'keskeset, but it only comes out of the word tochlu. So Gemara says, v'ipochano. Let us flip the consideration. Why are you only included borot, shechim, imarot, meaning that you're saying that they are beheter, and nitzim v'charitzim are beisur? Do it the opposite way. I mean, why would you say one is, one isn't? What is the logic behind that? So g'detani matatio, detani matatio bar Yehuda. Yeah, so the Gemara is going to say it. Detani matatio bar Yehuda. Ma reita l'rabot borot shechim u'mearot. Why did you include them l'heteira? To say that they're not under the rubric of Yisura. Lo tzi charitzim u'nitzim l'Yisura. Marbe ani borot shechim u'mearot she'in atzurim kikelim. Because they have the same din like kelim, which is that they are still bodies of water. Right? They are stationary bodies of water. Motzi ani charitzim u'nitzim she'in atzurim kikelim. That they are not collected bodies of water like the kelim. So that's the way the Lord has Riboy Miyot to Riboy. Rashi over here makes a comment.
I don't know what the Gemara put it. When it's saying that the intention ain't upstream, it really means that it's more like the Yamim
Kalim. Alright, we'll see that in a second. That's a good question. Tosfos addresses your question in a second. So first Rashi. Rashi says over here that the reason Tanya Bei Yisrael learns it as a Riboy Miyot to Riboy, because had they learned it as a Klal Uprat Tochlal, they wouldn't have needed the word Tochlu. They wouldn't have needed the Riboy of Tochlu. Klau, Uprat Tochlau, would have only included things that are Dome la Prat. Well, what's Dome la Prat? Prat would have been bodies, live bodies of water, active bodies of water. So then I would have only included Charitzim and Yitzim. Barot, Shechim and Me'arot would have been left out, meaning that they wouldn't require Snapir v'Keskeset. And then I wouldn't need the word Tochlu at all. So, why is that? Tosfos says we just had somebody dash in a Klau, Uprat Tochlau, and they did need the Tochlu. So the answer is that which I explained before, is that the first Klal Prat Klal learns the Klal Batra as Dafka. And therefore, they include everything in the prat. Everything in the prat would have been included except if you're in left field. It's very similar to a riboy meal to riboy. And that's why they read it into the word tohu. But Tana de Beir Shmuel, which we saw previously, believes that it's a klal kama that is dafka. And when klal kama is dafka, then you need to be domem shnei tzadim. You need to be domem leprat much more so. You don't have to be exactly like the prat, but you have to be very similar to the prat. And in that case, I would have only included nitzim b'charitzim, and not barot shechim y'marot. I wouldn't have needed the word tohlu at all. And since I don't need the word tohlu at all, then it doesn't make sense. Why would you darshan something where I don't need that riboy? So they go ahead and go to riboy miyot to riboy, which would include everything, which is similar to a klal prat to klal, where the klal batra is dafka, we include everything. And then I have the tohlu to come and eliminate barot shechim y'marot, that they are not included in this klal prat to klal, and therefore kelim, barot shechim y'marot, won't require stapir bekas keset. But according to Rashi, whether you learn it as a klal prat to klal here, or you learn it as a riboy miyot to riboy, both of them need the word tohlu, and both of them come to the same conclusion, which is that anything, yamim yechalim, charitzim and nitzim, will require snapir because keset, they're included in it. Those that are excluded are barot, shechim, yarot, and kelim, and they will not require snapir because keset. But there's no argument between the two memrot, the way you learn it either as a klal prat to klal, if you learn it as a riboy or miyot to riboy. That bothered Tosfot. Tosfot says, I don't think that's the case. And one of the things that bothered Tosfot is this atzirak u kelim. Why is the definition here of Tohlu, or the comparison here of Matatya ben Yehuda, the Atzirak Kelim? Like we said before, the Gemara gave the definition between them, the Prat, was that either it was Maim Delim Agave Karka, or it was Maim Novim. It was live bodies of water. All of a sudden here, now we have something that's called Atzirak Kelim. And therefore, Tosafot believes that the Charitzim and Nitzim that we're talking about here in the second Memra are not the same as we did before. The Nitzim and Charitzim that we're speaking about over here are even non-flowing bodies of water. They are not novim. They are not flowing nitzim v'charitzim, but nevertheless, they are still more similar than the barot shechim me'arot, and that's because atzurak kelim. Barot and shechim me'arot are collected bodies of water, very similar to kelim. On the other hand, nitzim v'charitzim, even though here we're talking about nitzim v'charitzim that are not flowing, nevertheless, they are less alike kelim, because they're not atzura. They're not gathered into a single location. They're spread over a large area. They are ditches, gutters. They have a long duration to them, and therefore, their water is spread out, not atzura, not collected like kelim. And based on that, Tosfot now comes up with a big nafkamina between the two memrot. Again, because of their definition, it's just a very nuanced difference. Above, we said that the definition of the prat is ma'im novim. Over here, we said the definition of the prat or the miyut is going to be based on atzura ki kelim. Tosafot says, the difference is, over there, they were talking about nitzim v'charitzim that were flowing. Based on that, they believe that nitzim v'charitzim that were flowing were included in the isura, whereas the nitzim v'charitzim that were stagnant, that were not moving, as well as the barot shechim y'marot, would not be included in the isura, or the need for a snapir, because guessed according to them, klal u'pratu klal. Whereas over here, according to riboy and miyot to riboy, but over here, if you say Mishani Tacharitzim Nitzim Avagav Shein Novim Damut Tzveli Yamim Nachalim, they're very similar. Shein Atzurim Kikelim. V'asher Deman Dodor Yish Riba V'Miyot. To point to when it says Riba V'Miyot to Riba, Merabech Charitzim Nitzim Shein Novim. Non-flowing bodies of water Charitzim Nitzim would be included in the Isur. They would require Snapir V'Kes Keset. The Tochlu Mukile V'Barot Shechim Imarot. Aval Deman Dodor Yish Le'el Klal Eupratte. The one who says earlier, the Klal Vrat, Merabem Mitochlu Le'Tera Filu Charitzim Nitzim Shein Otzurim. He includes Latiri even Charitzim Nitzim that are not Atzurim Kikelim. Kevin Deinom Novim, because they don't flow. According to this, the Nafkamina between the two Lashonot will be non-flowing Charitzim Vinitzim. Non-flowing Charitzim Vinitzim, according to the Klal Upratu of Klal, which is not Mayim Novim. It's not live flowing water. And therefore, they'd be excluded. You wouldn't require a Snapir Vekesed in them. On the other hand, the Ribo Miyot Riboy, they would include even the Charitzim and Nitzim that are not flowing bodies of water, they'd be included in Yamim and Achlim, because they're not Dumeh Le'atzirat Kelim. And therefore, even in non-flowing Charitzim and Nitzim, you would require Snapir Vith Kas Keset. Now, of course, the difficulty with Tosafot's explanation is that with the words Nitzim and Charitzim are used in both places without any definitional difference. So that's obviously what drove Rashi to say that they're exactly the same, that there is no nafkamina between them. Tosfot is catching the nuance between the two explanations of what's Dome Leprat or Dome Lemiut, which is, in the first case we said that it was Maim Novim, in the second case we said it's a Tzurak Kelim, and therefore Tosfot comes up with this nafkamina between the two Lishonot. So now the Gemara goes back to what we said yesterday, and we said that there's one Mifurash and one is Satum. And the Mifurash tells us about the Satum. The Gemara wants to know now, hi, Satum b'hai Mifurash. Which one is considered Satum and which one is considered Mifurash over here? We have two Pesukim. The one Pesuk says that you eat anything with fins and scales. The other Pesuk says, do not eat anything without fins and scales. Which one of them is explicit, and which one of them is satum, unclear? And when we say explicit or unclear, we're saying here that we would exclude kelim. We'd say that water found in utensils will not require fins and scales. From which one of those two psukim is it more obvious that you do not require fins and scales inside of kelim? And which one is it less obvious or satum, and therefore we have to learn from the other one? So that turns out to be a machloket amuraim, pligibah, rabacha, ravina. Chadamar yeshlos mifurash. The one that says that you must have stuff here because keset is the explicit. Veimo, when it says not, satum. Because the reason that is mifurash, by the one that says yes, because it says otam tochelu. Only those are you required to have stuff here because keset. The word otam is a mila that says they and not others. So what's the exclusion? The exclusion is kelim. And that's why it's mifurash in the positively formulated pasuk. On the other hand, the puzzle that says in the negative formulation does not have the word otam, does not have that miyut, and that'll be considered satum. V'charamar, the other one says, ein lo mifurash, the other way around. Then when the negative formulation is the one that's explicit, v'yesh lo satum, my time, what's the reason? The man damar yesh lo mifurash, amar lecha, the one who says that the positive formulation is the one that's explicit, amar lecha, minei hu deka mishtaru kelim. It's that puzzle that teaches us that the kelim are heter. My time, the man damar ein lo mifurash, according to the second daya that says that the negative formulation is considered to be explicit, because this one proves about the other one. We had this question in the Gemara yesterday when we said you should eat from the fish that are taken out of yamim and yachalim, and they require snapir v'kaskeset, fins and scales. But in kelim, in utensils, they will not require fins and scales. What did that mean? There were two options. One meant that they don't need fins and scales at all. The other option was that you can't eat them. Even if they have fins and scales, you can't eat them. So the Gemara says, I don't know which one of those. Go to the second pasuk. The second pasuk, which is the negative formulation, teaches me already that if I don't have snapir v'kaskeset, that's only a problem b'yamim v'nechalim. But if it's in kelim, it's not a problem anymore. So once we had the second pasuk, that was mar'eh, that gave us information about the first pasuk. So the only reason we excluded kelim in the first pasuk is because we had the second pasuk. And that's why, di meheich, if I only had the first pasuk, hava mina bekelim, afagav diyudei nami lo teichol, that even in the kelim, even if it had fins and scales, you would not be able to eat it. Along comes the second pasuk to teach us that. So one mandara says it's the first pasuk where the limud comes from. That's considered to be the mefurash. The second daya says, no, the one that teaches us how to learn the first pasuk, the second pasuk is the one that is considered to be the mifurash. So I'm Rabuna. Rabuna says, based on this, lo dishvei inish shichra b'tzaviyata b'orta. Do not pour date beer at night through the filters. They used to use some sort of sticks or items that would create a filter above when they poured it from one barrel to the other. Dilma, parish le'el mitzaviyata. The problem is that maybe one of these shiratzim that are found inside of the date juice, which would be otherwise mutarim, because they're found inside of a keli. They don't require fins and scales, because they always grew up inside of there. And they would have been mutar to eat. But problem is, at night, you're pouring it over the filter, and all of a sudden, one of these sherets get caught on the filter. And then afterwards, it falls off the filter back into the liquid. But when it's walking on the filter, it now becomes sherets ha-sherets al-aretz. It's no longer sherets ha-mayim, and it becomes asur. When it falls back into the date juice, now it'll make the date juice asur, and you won't know about it. So don't pour your date juice through the filter at night because of this possibility that one of these shvatzim, that while they're inside the date juice, are totally mutarim, but once they exit and they crawl on the filter, they become asur, and now when they fall back into the date juice, you won't know whether it was always in the date juice or was through the filter and then came down. Rabbi Omer, v'shem sheretz ha-shvetz al-aretz. Mar says, yochi bin mananomi. Even in its own utensil, why don't we worry about the fact, dimo parish ledafna demano, maybe the sheretz oaf will climb up the wall of the barrel, and then it'll slip and fall back into the juice. How do you know that he was always inside of the date juice or the date beer? Maybe he climbed up the wall and fell back in, and that also should be sheretz ha-shvetz al-aretz. Where it says, That's his playground. That's where he grew up. I mean, inside the barrel, the walls of the barrel are not considered to be a sharetz or sharetz al aretz. That's not a separate entity. That's still the same entity in which the liquid is contained, and that's considered to be one unit, or still within sharetz hamayim, still within the waters that are there, or the juice that is there. It's not as if he detached himself from where he grew up. The waters of the barrel are soaked with the juices, they absorb the juices, and therefore, it's considered as if he's still in the mayim. And how can I prove that to you, Titania? We have a brighter. How do I know that you include borot shechim imarot that he bent over and can drink directly from them? He doesn't have to worry about them. Why don't we worry about the fact that this sheretz ha'mayim climbed up the wall of the cave, or the shiach, or the mi'ara, and then fell back in? So, Hadar Nafil, Ella Haina Rivite, this is its playground, where it grew up. Achanami Haina Rivite, this is where it grew up, this is where it's growing. It's considered to be as if it's still in the water, as long as it's on the cave walls, and the entity that is containing the water, that is also considered like the water itself. Some of the Rav Chisla Ravuna, Tanya de Misayeloch, we have a brayta that supports you. Kol HaSheretz HaSheretz HaLaretz, there are both, Yivchushim Shesininam. Sheretz HaSheretz comes to include even flies or small bugs that are captured by the filter. Taima de sinanon, that's only because they were filtered. Halo sinanon, had they never been filtered, shari, they would have been mutar. So again, this idea that as long as it has to reach or be captured in a separate entity to be considered sheretz or sheretz al aretz. But if it's still within the original containment that has the liquids in it, then it won't be a problem. Amar Shmuel, kishot, shit liyah. We had this earlier in the Gemara, that cucumbers, some sort of a zucchini in that family, shit liyah, that has worms that are crawling in it, be ibei, but it's still attached. It has yet to be detached. Asura. Those shretzim that are found on that cucumber, or inside that cucumber or zucchini, asura mishum asheretz asheretz alaretz. Because it's mechuber lekarka, it's the equivalent of being asheretz asheretz alaretz. So let's say that we have a proof to this. We have one writer that says ala aretz lotzi et ha-zizim shibadashim. Asheretz or sheretz aretz comes to exclude, mean that they're not problematic. These items are not problematic. Zizim, the mites, shibadashim that are in the lentils. V'yeta yitushim shebeklisim, the bugs that are in the legumes or the pea pots. Vitolat shibitmarim shibigrogrot, and the worms that are in the dates or the dried figs. So all these worms you can eat because they never were sheretz or sheretz al aretz. They were always inside of the fruit. Therefore, you can eat them. But then you know, we have another part that says kol sheretz or sheretz al aretz. There are both. Come to include tolat shibikrei zeitim, the worms that are found inside of the olives of shikrei gefanim and inside of the grapes. My love, so what's the difference? Why in one place, if it's found in the fruit, it's okay? When another place, when it's found in the fruit, it's problematic. So, we're talking about the fruits, or the vegetable that's here. One of them was attached. The second right, the olives and the grapes were attached when the sheretz appeared or came out. And therefore, it's called sheretz or sheretz aretz. First right, that included all those items where he said it was mutar, there was already detached. And since it was detached, when the sheretz made its appearance, therefore it's a sheretz that's not sheretz al aretz, but rather sheretz that's sheretz inside of the fruit, and that's fine. So that would be a proof to what Shmuel just said. He says, lo, idi vidi bibe, they're both attached here. And below kasha, and there's no question, habi pere, habi ilono. One of them's talking about the fruits, and one's talking about the wood or the core, the branch of the item itself. Kufa. Tekanami, I can prove that to you. The tani tolat should be ikre zeitim, should be kre gufanim. Tolat that we're talking about here was found in the ikre. Ikre being the trunks, the branches of the zeitim, not the fruit. And same thing with the grapes and the olives. It says ikre in both those cases, shmamina. So that would say that the distinguishing factor here in the brightlot is not whether it was attached or detached, but rather where the sheretz was found. If it crawls on the branches, that's considered, or inside of the branches, that's considered a sheretz or sheretz al aretz, because the branches are considered mechuber lekarka. The fruits, on the other hand, even when they're still attached, are not considered to be sheretz or sheretz al aretz, and this brightlot would go against the position of Shmuel. Therefore, there is a machloket now about how to paskin. If you look at the top, Tosfos, Mikan Medakta Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Netanel, Veriva, De'ein Halacha Kishmuel. The halacha is not like Shmuel because we have a brayta here that goes against the way the Gemara is explaining it, is against Shmuel. V'alachot gedolot u'b'shutot Rav Chai posek Shmuel. They do paskin like Shmuel. Because we had earlier back on the Daphne Nechet, that Amar Papa El, that Shmaminam Ravuna. that from Rav Huna we can learn out the din of Shmuel. And so we see that the Amoraim do hold of the din of Shmuel. So we have a machlokas here, whether we pass it like Shmuel or not. We see here we have a braita that disagrees, or the way the Gemara explains the braita that disagrees with Shmuel. Although truthfully, you could explain it the first way we explain the braita, and then it wouldn't be a problem for Shmuel. And then Tosfot brings down me, or filu Shmuel, in la soroto pulim shikorim poish belaz, v'chimsi shikorim shvais, shenimtsim mitocham, kagon yivshchim, utfilat todot shilushim akripa mishachreret mi bachutz, shenitsiram akripa nisharim ayivchushim takta, in losram, because as long as it's inside of the shell, and it didn't crawl yet, those bugs are not considered sheretz ha-sheretz ha-art. So therefore, after you picked the fruit, or these here, we're talking about these legumes, after you pick them, then only afterwards do they bugs begin to crawl, and at that point they're already detached. So even according to Shmuel, they would not be problematic, according to this din in Tosafot. The Gemara continues, by Rav Yosef, per shel meita, what happens if this sheretz leaves the fruit and dies right away? Mahu. Mitzata mahu. What happens if it only emerges partially, but not totally? Or la'avir olam mahu. What happens if it comes flying out of the fruit, but never hits the ground? The guy catches it in his mouth before it ever hits the ground. What's the din here? Is this considered to be a sheretz or sheretz al aretz? Because it never got to the aretz. The first case, it was never sheretz. It never moved al aretz. And the second two cases, it never reaches the aretz. One, because miktzata, you don't have the whole animal out. And number two is the case where he catches it in the air, it never reached the aretz. So it's, maybe it shouldn't be called a sheretz or sheretz al aretz. All those we leave as a teku. By Ravashi, Ravashi extends this type of question. The gag tamra mahu. What happens if it comes on top of the date? What happens if it comes on top of the date stone and it crawls? Mitam letamra, where moves from date to date. Again, mau, is that considered a sheretz or sheretz al aretz or not? Teku, what is considered to be already al aretz or to be separate from the fruit? Is going on top of the fruit enough? Is it going on top of the date stone enough? Or even going from one to the other, is that already considered sheretz or sheretz al aretz? Or because it moved directly from one to the other, it's not considered a sheretz al aretz because it's always inside of the date. And again, we leave that as a teku. So I'm Rav Sheshet Brei Ravidi, Kokanei Asirei. Parasites are Asurim. Rashi reads this as parasites that are found inside of meat, Basar, whereas Tosafot reads this as parasites that are found inside of the fish. My time, Me'alma'atu, because they come from outside of the animal. So Ma'atu, Bavashi, Me'alma'atu, Lishtachu, Derech Beitarei. They really came from outside of the animal. They should be found in the channel, the excrement channel. It should be, if he's swallowing them, and that's how they got inside of the behema, he should also be coming out in its excrement, and that we don't find. In the truth, parasites are mutarim. My time, mine gavle. They grow out of the animal itself. They are not from the outside. They grow from the animal itself. That must be true. Kedim alma katu. If they really came from the outside, lishtachu derech beitarei. They should have been found in the excrement channel. Then he should have been spelling them just like he takes them in. The hilchot halacha is kokane asurei. That halacha is that parasites are considered asurim. My taima, minum naim. The animal fell asleep, violate the OCI, and it came in through its nose. So then, because it came in through its nose, it entered from the outside, and that's why we don't find it in the excrement channel, because it didn't come through the digestive tract, but rather came through the respiratory channel. Over here again, we're bumping into Chazal, who believe that there's a connection between the respiratory and circulatory systems, and these worms work their way through the lungs into the kaved, into the liver. And that's how they got in there, so we're exchanging what seems to be spontaneous generation for the problem of connecting the respiratory and circulatory systems, but that's why it would be mutar. That's according to the Gemara. Now says tolim darne de basra asirei de kavre sharye. The maggots that are found
between the skin and the flesh
inside of meat are considered asurim. On the fish, they are mutarim. So the difference between fish and basar is exactly why Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam disagree about where what this din is said about. Was it said about meat or was it said about fish? So if it was said about the maggots that were said about meat, over here we say they are asire, they are problematic. They come from the outside. And that's what Tolim Shiba Kavedim Shibreya. That's what Rashi explained before. They were talking about things that were in the liver and in the lungs. And Kashul Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't understand. We have two Lashonot over there before. The second Lashon said it was mutar. Right? Said it was totally fine. And then how do you explain this next piece of the Gemara that says that by meat is always asur? So the Melo Rabbeinu Tam Tebedagim Irene. We're talking about fish And even when we're talking about, even though it went to sleep and it came through its nose, that could be talking about a fish as well. Even though it really sounds like a behemoth, that can happen with fish too. The worms can come through the quote-unquote nostrils of the fish and not through their digestive tract. Alright, so now we have the neighbor of Asra Sireg Kabre Sharin. Amalei Rav Inali Yimei. Vina said to his mother, Ivli Li, cover up those maggots that are crawling on the fish, Vanaecho, and I'll close my eyes and eat it. So even though it's a little disgusting, nevertheless, since it's mutar, if you just cover it up, I don't mind, we'll just swallow the whole thing. Just don't let me see them. Amalei Rav Shashi Breder Vachal Rabina, Maishna. Meha, Ditanya. Why is this different than we have in a bright? Vet Nivna Tamti Shaksu, the Rabot of the Darnim, Shabimeima. Right, Nivna Tam Shaksu includes the worms that are found in the behema. So he says, Amalei Ochiashto. You can't compare the cases between behema and fish. Because behema b'shchita hu demishtario. How does a behema become mutar? Through shchita. V'ani demlo kahani le shchita b'surai kaimin. We have these bugs that are rolling around inside of these maggots rolling inside of the meat. When you shech the meat becomes mutar. But the bugs don't become mutar because they're not mutari de shchita. Even though something that's inside the behema would become mutar yedei shchita, because that's like a shalil, even though it's still alive, it would become mutar because it's komash v'tocho. That has a din, a special gzerat hakatuv. But the bugs that are rolling around, the maggots that are rolling around inside of this meat, they do not become mutar because they were alive, and the shchita does nothing for them. Since they're still alive, the shchita does absolutely nothing for them. Aval dagim, basifa ba'al mishtare. How does the dog become mutar? You pluck it out of the water, it's mutar. So just like if you pluck it out of the water, it becomes mutar, you don't require shchita. So too, the maggots that are found in there, the bugs found in, the worms found in there, they're mutar also, because the asifa makes them mutar. V'ani tika gavlan ve'eteraka gavlan. And therefore, when they grow up inside the fish, and they come out with the fish, they are beheter, because they have the same, they're just like the fish can be taken out alive, so too the worms can be taken out alive. So the asifa itself creates the heter, and the asifa works both for the fish and the worms or maggots inside of it. It does not work by basar, which requires a shchita. Shchita is only matir, the basar, not the maggots that are found inside of it. Right now, Tan Rabbanan, Holeichel Gochon, it says, Holeichel Gochon is problematic, Zenachash. That's the snake, called the Rabota Shulshul. That comes to include the earthworm. Beta domel shulshul, anything that is similar to an earthworm. Al arba, that goes on four, zakrav, that's the scorpion. Kol ha'ech rabote tachu pishit, they include the beetle. Beta domel chibushit. Marbe raglayim zenadal, which is a centipede. Actually calls it mea regalayim. Okay, 100 legs. It's a centipede. Ad kol rabot et adome, something that's similar, but adome, adome, anything even closely. Same thing related to these items are all problematic for sheretz ha-sheretz al-aretz. These items are things that you may not eat. Tanya Rabbi Yossi ben Dormiskit, Omer Leviatan, Dag Tohor. Leviatan, that we have many of Midrashim about, that is a Dag Tohor. Shenemar, how do I know that? Because it says in Yob, Ga'ava Afike Maganim, its pride, or is the strength of its shields, Tachtav, underneath it, Chadudei Charesh. It has pointed shards. Afike Meganim. What are the shields? What are its strong shields? Ilu Kaskasim. These are its scales. We saw that yesterday also from the Pasuk of Shmuel, that Kaskasim scales are said to be closely tied to the body and like shields. Shabo, Tachtav, Chadudei Charesh. What is the sharp shards that are beneath it? Elus Napirim. Those are the fins that it uses to cut through the water. Shabreach Vehem. It is similar to like shards of pottery. And the Rashi says that what Pashup Shat is, that the part, this is talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the shards of pottery are like the rays of the sun that come out. Nevertheless, the Drusha here is that it's referring to the Leviathan, and the Leviathan then has fins and scales. It has fins and scales, and it's a kosher animal. And that will be what we do, that Tidlavo, the Medjur says that the Sudat Tzadikim, that Tidlavo will include the Leviathan, that Hashem killed one of the two Leviathan, the pair, there was a male and a female. He killed one of them in order to have the Sudah La'atidav over the Tzadikim. And here we say that it's not problematic, that it's a Sudah of a kosher fish because they have fins and scales. Okay, with that, we'll end Perek Yevushrifut.